What's happening, my brother?
What's happening? How are you?
I'm good, man.
All right.
Oh, man, I'm geeking out. The man we all know and love. What's happening?
Everything's good, man. How's it on your way, man?
Man, everything's good, man. I'm honored and blessed that you're here, brother.
Yeah, thanks for having me, brother. Thank you.
Man, before we get started, I got to tell you the influence you had on me. We're around the same age, right? But at the time, everybody would have been like Kwame, rock the polka dots, get the ladies. We was taking a home ec class, right? Yeah. I just thought about this. I'm preparing for your interview. And they said, all right, you guys, you got to make a shirt. Make a shirt. We want to play ball, whatever. So the guys are mad. We're angry. So we what are we going to do? One guy goes over. He's looking at all the patterns. He see a polka dot pattern. Man, the elbows are flying. We tussling on each other trying to get that pattern. There's only one pattern with polka dots on it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, man. So
the shirt come out?
Yeah, well, he ended up getting the pattern.
Oh, okay,
you know.
But did the shirt come out good, or was it like Gordon Gartrell type?
You know what? It's funny you said that. It came out good, and we were bust on him because it was like, if it rains, that shirt is done. Like, he had it on, but you can tell it's kind of thin. Like, man, on a good rainy day, that thing's coming off of you.
Wow.
But it was a good pattern. But like I said, man, I appreciate you taking the time out and everything. Let's start from the beginning.
Sure.
How the influences getting into music, the whole nine. Let everybody know.
Well, when I was a kid, you know, I had a lot of different influences, you know, and especially, you know, coming up in the age of the birth of hip hop. So pre hip hop, you know, my influences were people like Stevie Wonder. A lot of different jazz influences because my father played a lot of jazz, so like a John Coltrane or McCoy Tyner. My mother played, like I said, a lot of Stevie, so Stevie was a definite influence. James Brown, so all those type of people were influential. But you know, I'm 5, 6, 7 years old, and then hip hop comes, and immediately I'm influenced by Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five. Especially Melly Mel, but I'm also influenced by the musicality of those Sugar Hill records, those original Sugar Hill records. Listening to the band play these records, this is pre-sample, pre-drum machine. Nobody was making records on drum machine at the time. So those live band influences were heavy. And as a 6-year-old kid, it influenced me to learn instruments. So, you know, it pushed me to learn how to play the drums. The Grandmaster Flash record Freedom was heavy horn influence, so it pushed me to learn how to play the trumpet. You know, and also listening to the chords and everything pushed me to learn how to play the piano. And my parents pushed me as well. So then you get, you know, like I said, back to Grandmaster Flash. There was a record by Herbie Hancock and Mixmaster DST called Rocket, where there was a lot of scratching in it. So that influenced the DJ aspect of it. You know, back in the days, back in those times, hip hop was all encompassing. So you had to do everything. You wanted to know how to scratch. You wanted to know how to DJ. You wanted to know how to rap. You wanted to know how to break. So breaking was real heavy. So everybody was breaking. You know, you had your fashion. So all of that thing just was like a big powder keg of influence when I was a little kid.
That's crazy. That is crazy. Now, what age were you when you dropped your first album?
I was 16.
Dang, 16.
I was 16. Like, when I recorded the album, 15 going on 16. When I got the deal, I was 16. When the album came out, I was 16 going on 17. Yeah.
That's crazy. Now, being so young, how did like older MCs or producers treat someone who's like 15, 16 years old, and they're probably like, you know, in their 20s and 30s or whatever?
Well, you know, I produced myself, so it wasn't like I was around, you know, the only people that I was around was more like my crew, and my crew was older than me, and they were like older brothers, so it was like Herbie Lovebug, you know, one of the greatest early hip-hop producers. You know, you had Salt and Pepper, they were like big sisters. Spinderella was like my age, so she was like a, you know, another sister. Kid and Play, they were older. they were like big brothers. Dana Dane was like a heavy influence and a big brother. So all these people were around me, and they just pretty much, they clowned me if it was something that was whack, and then and they built me up when it was something that was dope. So I never, you know, that influence was also very, very important to have those older people around you doing and giving you those vibes, man.
That's what's up. That's what's up. How did you handle so much success at a young age?
I don't know. I don't know if I handled it right. You know, I can't say that I. What is very important to anybody who achieves some sort of success at a young age are the older people around them. So for me, you know, my parents and grandparents played major roles in supporting me and supporting what I did and supporting and treating me the same. You know, like nobody treated me any kind of different. I have a number one record out, and my mother's still yelling at me to put out the garbage and clean up my room. So, you know,
right.
And still beefing if I'm bringing a girl home. She's like, yo, get these chicks out of the house. She made it a point to make it no different, to keep me humble, level-headed, and grounded at all times. And right. So did my father. But then at the same time, you know, I'm now becoming an adult. And back then, 18 years old, you're an adult. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Nowadays, parents carry their kids until they're 30. Back in the day, it's like 18, you could get out, you know?
Yeah.
So for me, I definitely was stubborn in a lot of ways, trying to push my independence. And I didn't listen to a lot of things a lot of my family members said. And I fell on my ass a lot of times, not listening. So there was like a balance. Me handling success as a humble human being, and I never treated anybody like crap. But also as a stubborn person, I wasn't able to handle a lot of the success and made a lot of mistakes when I was young.
Right. What advice would you give to anyone who's watching this or listening to this, who's trying to get into business, whether it's a producer, songwriter, rapper, or singer? You've been it. You're a legend. You've been there, done that, bought the t-shirt 3 times over. What advice would you give them?
Well, the biggest advice is nothing happens overnight. Nobody owes you nothing, period. I don't care. You know, everybody, you know, walks in a lot of times acting like that because they rapped for a year or rapped for 2 years or rapped for 10 years or rapped for 20 years or produced for that amount of time that somebody owes them a shot. It's never the case. Nobody owes you anything. You're owed what you get. You owed what you go after. You're owed what you pursue in any way, shape, or form. And the other biggest advice that I would give, two halves of it. One half is, because you're not owed anything, you got to have the thick skin for this game. Like, if you can't take criticism, if you can't take rejection, if you can't take being broke for God knows how long, if you can't take people doubting you at every corner of what you do, you are not meant for this game.
Mm-hmm.
Period. It's like 100%. If you can't take it, get out and be a spectator. Don't be a player, because the game is hard. There's nothing sweet about the game. Nothing pretty about the game. Only thing that's sweet and pretty is what you see after everything is done. The creation of things, there's nothing sweet about it. So that's like a real main advice that I give people, man. It's like, and at the same time, if you're in it, you're in it for forever. If you're really trying to be in it, you are in it literally forever. It's like, you know, I tell this to other rappers that are in my age group, other professionals that may be younger than me or maybe older than me. We have conversations and it's like, we do this till you die. You do it till you die, or you do it till you quit.
Mm-hmm.
It's that simple, that black and white. And a lot of people don't get that. And a lot of people, you know, they get disenfranchised. Something didn't go their way or something didn't turn out the way they wanted. Or you know, why is everything so hard? Nothing's easy. Everything is hard.
Yeah.
When you start asking that question, why is it so hard? That means you're not supposed to be here.
Right.
Because if it's so easy, it's going to be taken from you so easy. So it's like, right. You know, that's my biggest advice. You know, a lot of people want to hear advice on how they're going to get on or how, what can they do to get on. And it's like, it's not about getting on. It's about staying on. No one can tell you how to get on. Nobody. Everybody gets on differently. It's like a fingerprint. Everybody gets on in a different way. Nobody gets on the same way.
Right.
So that's not the important part. The important part is if you do get on, how you going to stay on?
Mm.
So, you know, that's what I usually try to preach.
Right. Yeah, just stick with it. Because if it was easy, everybody would do it.
Yeah, well, you know everybody what I mean? Tries to do it.
Yeah, know? Yeah.
And sometimes we see people's success. We see what we consider or we think of success. Because somebody just happened to do it and win.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? Guess what? You not everybody and everybody isn't you. So you're going to have to get it in your mind. And maybe there's some people that are in a better position than you.
Mm-hmm.
There might be somebody who is more talented than you. There
right.
might be somebody who's less talented than you, but was able to figure something out that you couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it's like when you start comparing yourself to others and other things and other situations, that's what you set yourself up to lose. So it's like, you know, you just gotta run your race. You have to run your race. You don't know how long the race is. It's like for me, you know, people will say to me, "Oh, you've been there, you've done that, you're a legend, you've done this." That. And in my brain,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, I don't think so. There's so much more that I feel that I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much more that I feel that I need to do or I would like to do. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm going to ever get the opportunity to do it or not, but mm-hmm. I don't have the luxury to feel comfortable in anything that I do. Though I've been around for a long time, I've never been comfortable.
Right. Always wanted to ask you, where did the concept of the polka dots came from?
Well, it wasn't really like a thought up thing. It was just like, you know, I dressed a certain way in high school. The way I dressed on the videos is how I dressed in school. And I think in that time of the 80s, polka dot patterns were late 80s, early 90s. The polka dot patterns were kind of popular, but at the same time, it wasn't hip hop.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, one of my biggest influences, Prince. Prince would rock like all polka dot suits. And nobody hip hop was thinking about that, you know, or like high fashion, like, you know, different high fashion brands would have these polka dot shirts or jackets or whatever. But hip hop was thinking about either Dapper Dan sweatsuits.
Right.
Or Adidas suits or whatever. They're not looking at high fashion. So for me, it was like, I want to incorporate that into what I'm doing and into what hip hop is. And at the same time, to be honest with you, I'm a 16-year-old kid. I don't have no money like that. I got a black shirt with white dots that can match a bunch of black and white things. So it looks good on the outfit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That same shirt. Well, actually a white shirt with black dots. That same shirt was in the back of my album cover. Same shirt was a pajama top in my first video. Same shirt was on my single cover. And it was like, but people took it as different outfits. It's the same damn shirt.
Right.
I just put it together. I had a black shirt and a white shirt. And I put them together. You know what I'm saying? And those are the outfits that I had at the time before I was making any money to buy more outfits or get more outfits made. So I think that was that. But then I tried to be like cerebral about it.
Mm-hmm.
And when people started asking me what's the purpose of the polka dots, I started getting into some real other stuff. I was like, well, the white background stands for the white man's influence in society, and the black polka dots are the standout achievements of the black man in the white man's society, blah, blah, blah. And the black background is the black man's power influence, and the white polka dots are the white man trying to overpower the black man's. I really went there.
Right.
I really went there with that. So
that's
how I did it.
That's cool. What current projects are you working on, my brother?
So currently, actually, literally right now, my studio's in the next room. I'm working on a Christmas film. I'm literally in the other room doing 100% Christmas music. So I'm working on this Christmas film.
Get out.
I'm a producer, for people that don't know, I produce records, I score film. So right now I'm scoring this Christmas film. And it's very interesting, the artist that I work with real closely, R&B artist Vivian Green, she's like the showcase singer on the Christmas songs that I'm doing.
Yeah.
So we're kind of making like a Christmas album, but it's for the film. And then on top of that, I'm working on this other project where it's based on a rapper. It's not really a hip hop movie, but it's based on a rapper that used to be out in the early 2000s, late 90s, early 2000s. Mm-hmm. And it's based on what he's going through in life right now. So that movie that I'm scoring that as well, is real heavily 90s hip hop based, early 2000 hip hop based. So it has that vintage hip hop feel to it. And so those are like the two main projects that I'm working on now.
That's what's and up. Yeah.
I'm putting out a new record. So, there's a new record. It's called My Energy, a happy song. It's a new single that's coming. Actually it's done. It's what I'm doing with my records, just for people to understand where I'm going, it's very like visual art based. So like I'm into, people that know me, I'm into toys and comic books and all this stuff, and animation and stuff. So all the stuff that I'm doing as an artist is based in that zone. So like the video is going to be extremely animated. And all the different songs, it's going to be hip hop, of course, but it's a lot of animation and that type of vibe to it. Because, there's just something I feel that artists should just represent the things that they're into and the things that they like. And I think I'm at a place in my career where I could just put whatever out. I'm not trying to chase the baby or you know what I'm saying, Lil Durk or anybody like that. I'm just trying to put out art. I can't call myself an artist if I do not put out art. So that's what I'm doing.
That's what's up. Two more things before I let you go. Comics and everything. Have you seen the Batman movie yet?
Of course.
All right.
Of course.
What did you think?
First of all, I'm a super Batman head. So one thing about me, I gotta give you a precursor. I don't watch trailers.
Right.
I don't read reviews.
Uh-huh.
Or anything before a movie comes out.
Okay.
So when I sit in a movie, I want everything is fresh and new. I will avoid, I will walk out of a room if a trailer's on. I will close my ears and eyes at the beginning of the movie. I do not watch trailers.
Right.
So for me, I was always, I didn't know if Robert Pattinson from Twilight can pull off Batman. Like, yo, seriously, I'm on my Batman thing. I got the Batmobile right here.
It's dope, yo.
So, I didn't know if Zoe Kravitz could pull it off. I didn't know if anybody could really pull it off. So I'm sitting there, I'm watching the movie, and I'm sitting there like it's a 3-hour long thriller / horror film.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there like, oh shit. This is Batman. This is actually Batman. Yeah. He's being a detective.
Yeah.
It's not, if anybody, first of all, it's not for kids. So if you see Batman, you think you'll take your 5-year-old kid to the movie, you're a bad parent.
Right.
It's not even that. It's like Silence of the Lambs.
Seven
meets The Dark Knight. You know what I'm saying? It's that kind of movie. And I thought it was dope. You know, I really did. I thought the scoring, the music was dope. I thought Colin Farrell as the Penguin.
Unrecognizable.
Killed it. I thought Robert Pattinson as a young Batman on his second year on the job, I thought he did great. I thought Jeffrey Wright as a Lieutenant Gordon, not a Commissioner Gordon, did great. I actually enjoyed Zoe Kravitz as well. Everybody was just dope to me. I thought Robert Pattinson could have been a better Bruce Wayne. He was just like a creepy Bruce Wayne.
Right. But
I think if anybody understands Batman, you're about to get me in my Batman bag. Understands Batman. Batman is a man with serious mental health issues.
Mm.
And he channels his mental health issues by trying to do good in the city.
Mm-hmm.
So I would not expect Bruce Wayne to actually be that much of a regular guy. So looking at Bruce Wayne being this creepy Bruce Wayne, I would probably expect him to actually be like that. He's more Batman than Bruce Wayne.
Right.
Because as Bruce Wayne, he has to deal with his demons. And as Batman, he exercises his demons and he lets everything out and he does what he has to do. So he probably, if you want to analyze it as a real person, if you were really Bruce Wayne, you're probably real messed up in the head. You're probably real gloomy and you're not. And so the Bruce Waynes that we're used to, like the upbeat, with all the chicks, that's an act.
Right.
And he has yet to learn how to put on that act. Just like Alfred has been telling him, yo, you can't be out here looking like creepy Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
You got to turn it on. You got to put on the act.
So
in actuality, Batman is the real person and Bruce Wayne is the alter ego.
Right.
He's really Batman.
Right.
And he has to learn how to be Bruce Wayne.
Wow. Yeah. And
so you know, if you get that in your mind and you watch the movie, you'd be like, that's, you know, this is Batman. This is how he is. So I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I thought so too.
See it again.
Yeah, it's real, like, it's real darker, like you said, and most of how you see Bruce, he's smiling. It's when he just like, get out of my face. You're not my father, whatever. I don't care about the money.
Yep.
It's, you know, but yeah, that's what's up. One more thing. I love your Saturday morning tunes.
Oh, word. Thank you.
I love that, man. Oh, man. Thank the beat, you. Music, then the cartoon. Yeah, man. You do it. And I love your background. Yeah, man. I could talk to you. I know you got time. I can talk to you all day about comics and toys. I really want to get into that, but I know you pressed for time and everything.
I can do a couple of more minutes. But yeah, man, the Saturday morning tunes, you know, that was something that came from the pandemic, and it was just about, you know, people being at home and trying to figure out what they were going to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm probably the only person that actually enjoyed the pandemic because it allowed me to sit down. It allowed me to think. It allowed me to get healthier. It allowed me to create. And Saturday morning tunes, for those that don't know, I get on Instagram and Twitch Saturday mornings now, Saturday mornings that I'm around, and I just play classic hip-hop. I go from late 70s to the 90s, the time of hip-hop that I personally love. And I try to encompass East Coast, West Coast, down South, classic hip hop. But more than that, more than just DJing, it's more interactive because if you read the comments, people are interacting with each other, cracking jokes, we're telling stories, and it's a very fan interactive thing. And then sometimes if I see somebody that has their own business or whatever, I try to bring them in, help them promote their business. But how it originally started was the pandemic hit, like, I think, like, March
2020
or something.
Yeah.
2020. And everything shut down. And I had big plans for my birthday. My birthday was March 28th. And I couldn't do anything.
Right.
So it was like, yo, stop beefing. I'm not five. I'm not a little kid. I'm not worrying about my birthday. Let me try to give something to the people that's sitting at home.
So right.
I did. I started the Saturday Morning Tunes, but how I started was playing the classic hip hop and then bringing classic hip hop artists on the live to perform their songs. So, you know, I had, you know, the late great Biz Markie on there. You know, Kango Kid was on there. Prince Markie D was on there. You know, these people aren't even with us anymore. Some of their last appearances was on Saturday Morning Tunes.
Wow.
And you know, that really means something to me because they gave their time to that, and none of us knew that that could have been probably the last time we were going to see them.
Right.
So, you know, it's a very important thing, and I try to do it as much as I possibly can. Instagram loves kicking me off for playing music that's owned by Warner Brothers or whatever the hell.
Right, right.
But for the most part, I had a great time. Great time.
Man, I love the, like, the little Saturday morning cartoon interludes and the theme music. Man, it took me back. I was like, oh, he played that? The superheroes and all, and like the super friends and everything.
Yeah, definitely going to step it up, working on a way to do it with the platform where we're trying to integrate it through Instagram where when I drop the cartoon intros, you'll actually see the cartoons. And
That's dope.
You know, you could do it on other platforms, but trying to do it through Instagram is the tricky part. So those kinks are being worked out now. And we're just having a great time.
I enjoy it, brother. When I catch it, I see an alert, I tune in, I'm like, go ahead, man. I'm enjoying it. You know what I'm saying? So
thank you, man.
Already, like I said, being a fan, and I appreciate you taking the time out for being on NYPA Entertainment Radio. I want you to come back just to chop it up in general. I love that Voltron back there, brother. We got a lot to talk about. I love the tour. I catch you in your alerts and you show off, like, the real quick, the Batman 1960s action figures, the car, the whole set with Batman. Dude, that joint. Come on. Is he gonna
this joint?
Yeah, that joint right there. Yeah.
This thing was serious.
That was on point back then.
I gotta find somewhere to put it. That's why.
But would you possibly know? And it's a weird question. What the pirate retail was at the time it came out? Because that's a lot. Would you show? It's a lot.
It's out now.
It's out now.
Yeah. Oh. So it's like $130.
Oh shit! I'm gonna try to get that joint.
So it's made by a company called Mezco. If you go online and look up Mezco 5 Points Batman.
Okay. That's what's up.
And that's what it's called. Mezco 5 Points Batman. And you should be able to find it. I don't think it's sold out yet.
Right.
That's, you know, what's, I get up. It. And sometimes I'll showcase it as soon as it comes in, as soon as it comes out. I'll let people know about it.
Cool. Let everybody know where they can find you on social media and the whole nine. Just rattle it off.
Social media. I'm mostly on Instagram at, what is my Instagram? Kwame Vision. I'm sorry. Kwame Vision is my Instagram. Twitter, that's where I just pop junk for no particular reason, and that's Kwame Did It. That's Kwame D-I-D-I-T. Kwame Did It. And if you want to sit around on Facebook, it's Kwame the Boy Genius. But I'm mainly on Instagram, man, to be honest with you. So Kwame Vision on Instagram.
Thank you very much. We gotta do this again, brother, just to chop it up, just in general. I know you're pressed for time. You're a very busy man. Hey, yes, when the projects drop, remember NYPA, your family. You know what I mean?
Thank you.
Thank you so much for taking the time out, my brother.
All right, man.
Happy birthday, by the way, also.
Oh, yeah. Woo!
All right, now.
Later.
Be safe. That was Kwame, the man you all know and love here on NYPA Entertainment Radio. Like I said, you get special bonus shows like that here on Riverside.fm, along with on NYPA Entertainment Radio. With that being said, folks, that is it. I will see you soon and every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. NYPA Entertainment Radio. That's it. I don't have an outro yet, but I will. Show's over.